I'd like to call the House Finance Committee to order. It is 5 p.m. We're going to open up to public testimony on HB 49 crime sentencing. And on that, we do have callers already with us, so we're going to start Kenai with Will Madison. Will, you put yourself on the record and your affiliation, and you may begin your testimony.
Good afternoon. I'm Will Madison from Soldotna, Alaska. I would like for you, is there a chance that you could introduce and pass a regulation separating revoked driver's license and suspended driver's license? We would recommend making driving with a revoked license an arrestable offense. Currently, driving revoked is only an infraction with a mandatory citation and a $300 fine. Unless the operator is revoked specifically for DUI,
Will, can you hear me?
Their revoked period at the time of stop, it becomes a misdemeanor with no holds, no bail. The offender is released on his own recognizance. Currently, the majority of the suspended revoked driver's license only get the citation and commonly don't even appear in court. Most of the suspended drivers are people that have had problems with carry insurance or fail to pay child support, but not basically your typical career criminals. The vast majority of revoked offenders are career criminals. They laugh at the request to appear in court and find law enforcement officers who stop those with prior experiences that are probably drug paraphernalia, drug money, and stolen merchandise in the vehicle, but under the current law is just an infraction, meaning that the officers cannot do anything to search the vehicle. Their hands are tied. This committee would make all driving with revoked license an arrestable offense. The officers would have the authority to do a search and determine whether the vehicle should be impounded for additional charges. The offender would go to jail and potentially appear in court. Subsequently, the providing the officer additional time to build a stronger case with more evidence for keeping the revolving door offenders in jail and at the same time possibly solving other theft crimes. Driving with this. Driving with this suspended license would still be an infraction only to pay a ticket to pay. So if you make that an arrestable offense for revoked license, it would give the troopers and police the additional tools they need to do to clean up the habitual criminals. Thank you.
Thank you, Will. And Jane Madison, you're next.
Hello, I'm Jane Madison. In addition to the revoked, In addition to the revoked and suspended licenses issue, would you please work on the following unlimited speeding fine issue and bail issues? There are several areas between Soldotna and Anchorage where drivers choose to speed. The most notable is the Seward Highway between Anchorage and Girdwood. Because this stretch of road is policed by the Anchorage Police Department, not the state troopers, and because it is a double fine zone, and because, unlike the state, Anchorage assigns high dollar amounts for fines, a driver was caught driving at 130 miles an hour, 75 miles per hour over the limit, and fined more than $3,600. If that state driver was caught doing 130 on the state road, the state would have fined him only $300 plus a $20 surcharge because of the upper limit of the state on speeding is $300. If he was caught doing 130 miles per hour in the double fine zone north of Soldotna, the state would have fined him only $600 plus a $20 surcharge. The current state statute has a maximum limit for a violation, like speeding, of $300. There should be no upper limit. Could you please call the municipality of Anchorage to confirm how their violation schedule works and apply those rates, or even higher rates, to the state statute and administrative code? It would help you balance the budget. Secondly, forfeit bail if the person is a no-show. When the offender doesn't show for their court date, which happens often, the bail should automatically be forfeited to the state. Currently, when a person is arrested and goes to jail and then stands before the magistrate or judge, they may be released for a period of time if the accused deposits an assigned amount of bail money. In most cases, the accused returns to their usual illegal activities and in most cases does not appear for their court date. A warrant is then issued and law enforcement is then asked to find the accused person again and take them to jail again. When the magistrate sees the accused the second time, they often order the bail money returned to the accused. This should be stopped. The criminal did not live up to their promise to appear. Judges should not be allowed to return that bail money. The state should keep the bail, period. Thirdly, raise the deposit amount for third-party custodians. At times, friends or family members pay the bail amount, as third-party custodians they're called, and they promise to watch the accused person 24 hours per day until he or she returns for their assigned court appearance. I suspect if you've had children and you've had them on restriction, you know what that's like to have to watch them 24 hours a day. And you know that it's really harder on you than it is them. Because watching the accused person 24 hours a day is very difficult or impossible, after a few hours or days, the friend or family member often allows the accused person to leave their custody. There is currently no monetary fine for the third-party custodian if the offender leaves supervision and they report it to law enforcement immediately. If they don't report the infraction, the custodian can be charged with a misdemeanor, and it's called violation of a third-party custodial agreement. But judges rarely do that.
Ms. Madison, can you wrap it up, please?
The third-party custodian deposit should be so large that friends and family would be less willing to put up the money or accept the responsibility. Please increase the third-party custodian rates and please require forfeiture of that deposit when the third-party custodians do not fulfill their promise. Lastly, bail amounts. Judges should be required to assign much larger bail amounts. Amounts of $250 or $500 or even $2,500 for most crimes are unacceptable. In many cases, they've stolen more than $2,500 worth of merchandise and can easily get that amount of money by selling it to their drug dealer. There should be required minimum bail amounts assigned to misdemeanors and felonies, amounts that encourage the payers to think twice before they violate their conditions of release. If they do not show up for court on their assigned court date, their bail should be automatically forfeited. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your time. And thank you for everything you're doing for us every day.
Thank you, Jane. We appreciate you being here today. So next will be Sid Atwood. Sid?
Okay. Good afternoon or good evening. And good evening to the chair and committee members. My name is Sid Atwood. I first of all want to applaud the person calling from Kenai. Very interesting. I am a member of the Alaska Advisory Board on Drug and Alcohol Abuse, but I am speaking for myself on this crime bill, HB 49, and which is, by the way, a better crime bill than the previous version. But if we remove motivation for good time served or participating in rehabilitative services, then incentives are lost. The need is for help to change, and I'm talking about change for a better future for everyone when the accused or the criminal has a chance to re-enter society. Penalty or punishment is not correction, at least not for the low-level crime. Prioritize beds. We must prioritize beds for inside, that is those that are serving inside, for those convicted of serious crimes. And as a peer and mentor, I thank my treatment that I had for drugs and alcohol abuse and for support groups that I have been able to be a member of through the years, and have been blessed to be able to help hundreds of people. I don't like beating my own drum, but there is an important lesson here to be learned, that it wasn't punishment that got me turned around. It was treatment and support and I appreciate having over 42 years sober. So thanks for the work you're doing, and I appreciate very much the chance to testify.
Thank you, Sid. Next will be Katie Botts.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. So thank you to a member and the members of the committee. My name is Katie Botts. I am representing myself, and I do live in Juneau, Alaska. I have two questions for each of you to consider. What is your definition of a person's value as a human being? And is that value of a human being less valuable than money? As legislators, you are playing with people's lives, especially while debating on what to fund and what to cut. We live in the most dangerous state in the country. Absolutely nobody can deny that they have not been affected by a crime one way or another. As a citizen of Alaska for 31 years, I urge legislators to place money aside and to make all crimes, no matter what it is, stronger with a stiffer punishment for the offender, as well as to keep offenders off our streets. I am a survivor of sexual abuse. Sex offenders get nothing more than a slap on the hand. I was abused at the age of 12. If by chance they need to be held, more accountable. If by chance, as in on the income monitor, as well as I was adopted at the age of 6 months. If people get to kill unborn babies, then what's my value as a person who was adopted? Should I be alive or should I have been dead just because people get their mouths killing babies? Please, do your job and make laws to keep criminals in jail until they have proven they can partake in society as an outstanding citizen. Thank you for listening to me, and thank you for doing your job on a daily basis.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you for your testimony. Next will be Karen Nelson.
Hi, this is Karen Nelson, for the record. I'm a Juneau resident. Thank you, House Finance Committee, for having this testimony time right now. I am going to in support of HB 49, although there's a lot of compromising I'm doing personally to support. But I do believe that we need to continue bringing ways for instance, to continue having driver's licenses given back for employment and people to be able to be Alaskans and continue moving forward in their lives. One thing that I will continue to not support is increasing sentencing ranges that we've had, although I understand with what we're dealing with right now, we need to have some solutions. I don't believe this is a solution. I believe that we need to continue supporting community resources, whether that's reentry, whether that's recovery homes, whether that's recovery support services. Incarcerating people for longer periods of time actually is proven to create more chaos and continue to rip our communities apart. We definitely need to find a solution. This is a compromise given the other bills that are in front of us. I just continue to please make decisions smartly. We have so much devastation happening in our state with crime happening, property crimes, other things that are happening. it is so important to understand that longer sentences actually harms our communities. It's important to understand that as we blanket these policies out, it actually is hitting a very small percentage of Alaskans. It's actually taking away from people that have mental health issues and other people that cannot function when we don't have those structures in place to have checkpoints for good time and to have sanctions with our probation officers and, you know, just be smart about being able to at least have a place where as we're doing well, we're able to turn around our sentencing or turn around the time that we're in prison. I understand there needs to be some accountability, and we can do that smartly. Punitive justice has not made us feel safer. It's been happening for decades. I don't feel safer today. I'm sure no one else there does either. So we need to continue to be smart about this. I am in support of this bill, although I feel like it's compromising, where I'd like to continue moving in the direction we were moving with the reforms that we made that were strategically vetted out for years and years. It didn't happen overnight. We're not going to fix this by throwing people in prison for longer sentences. And thank you for your time.
Thank you. And next will be Lars Leisman.
Hello?
Hello? We can hear you. Hi, can you put yourself on the record and begin your testimony?
Yeah, I hope you can hear me. Where, how much time am I given to speak?
2 minutes, and we can hear you just fine.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, my name is Lars Gleitzmann, and I testify for me and my family. I'm a resident of Anchorage. I have been here since 1996, and I'm absolutely disgusted at the situation that was created by the Senate Bill 91. Basically, the Senate Bill 91 abandons the concept that is as old as mankind of punitive justice, and it is obvious that it has failed. It is obvious that it created nothing but more crime, yet people are adhering to it and don't want to see reality, that the criminals are laughing at the police, that the criminals are laughing at the victims, and yet they say throwing criminals in jail doesn't help, but what we see is that you know there is no change whatsoever. It's only getting worse. So I'm here to testify for a full repeal of Senate Bill 91, a reinstatement of a normal justice system that puts people in jail for their crimes, and I'm disgusted at Matt Clayman's watering down of the bill by Governor Dunleavy. I'm in support for Governor Dunleavy's attempts to fix the Alaska justice system. And I want to caution you about the fact that, you know, there are many property owners who will not report property crimes because they don't want to destroy the value of their neighborhood. The amount of crime that exists and the amount of crime that happens is much higher than it is being reported, because people fear that they could never sell their houses because of the neighborhood has such bad crime issues. So a lot of property crimes never get reported because the people have the feeling it wouldn't do any good anyway. The criminals, if they are caught, get released anyway. And the value of their homes and the value of their neighborhoods would be destroyed by the reporting. And basically everybody I know has been a victim of a crime. I don't dare to leave my house without an armed house sitter. We had break-ins left and right. And, you know, people get their car broken in when they go to buy milk. And yet there's all these testimonies in favor of a second chance for the criminal. Where is the representation of the victims?
Lars, can you wrap up, please?
Where is the representation of the citizens? You know, we have a justice system that gives all chances to the criminals, and where is the representation for the victims? I hope for a full repeal of Senate Bill 91, and I support the governor in his efforts. And I'm absolutely disgusted about the watered-down version as presented by Matt Klayman. And I think my time is up.
Thank you, Lars. I appreciate it. Next is Tom McGrath. Tom?
Good afternoon. My name is Tom McGrath. I'm calling from downtown Anchorage. And in reading House Bill 49, I'm really concerned that third-degree property offenses still are there without any serious penalty. When a police officer, and we have many, many fine police officers in Anchorage, arrest somebody or contact somebody that has stolen less than $250, there's no consequences, and it's just a revolving door. Recently, my wife and I went to a meeting where the police chief was presenting, and he said there have been 8,500 tickets of this type given out to criminals in Anchorage that had stolen less than $250. Some of them actually had calculators in their possession to make sure they didn't go over the $250. When we asked what the consequence was, they said virtually none. So if what we've done is by having Senate Bill 91, we have created a revolving door. And any of these crime bills, the first sentence should be, this repeals Senate Bill 91. And I know some parts of Senate Bill 91 have to be kept, but they should be put into another bill because Senate Bill 91 has such a negative connotation for the community. And what we really have is just a catch and release system going on throughout Alaska that does nobody any good at all, except ties up police officers' time, and the criminals just walk back out the door. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you very much. Next is Carrie Phillips.
Hi, my name is Carrie Phillips, and I reside in Fairbanks. I'm here also representing myself and the Fairbanks Reentry Coalition. For my personal story, I'm proof that treatment over incarceration does work. After having about 25 surgeries, I became addicted to pain meds within an eight-year period. It got to the point where I was calling in false prescriptions to pharmacies, and the pill amounts were in the thousands. I was eventually caught by the Anchorage Police Department and the Drug Enforcement Agency, and instead of incarceration, I was given the option of treatment. I had to call and check in with the DA every day for about a year. Had I messed up, I would be spending the rest of my life in federal prison. And now that I have gone through this, I'm able to work at the Reentry Coalition as a forensic peer support specialist and help other inmates reintegrate back into their communities successfully. I believe a lot of the drug convictions, especially for possession, should not be a black and white issue, but case by case, and should continue to be in the judge's discretion. Offenders should be offered other avenues instead of incarceration, such as therapeutic courts and treatment. Some believe that addicts need to be locked up in jail and they can get treatment there. While this is true for some, there's not near enough programs and there's a lot of wait lists. And inmates can still get drugs and do drugs while incarcerated. During my addiction, I also received a felony conviction. While I did not do time, I did receive a year and a half probation. I've sat on both sides of the probation desk because I do hold a degree in criminal justice. And I was able to successfully complete my probation and even go down to minimal supervision for my last 6 months due to good behavior and completing my probation requirements in a timely manner. I believe by discontinuing the incentives such as good behavior time that others and only having sanctions could be damaging to the inmates. And also in the Fairbanks area, since the inception of the reentry, we've only had in the last 3 years a 20% recidivism rate that our case manager, Marsha Oates, takes care of. I'm living proof that treatment over incarceration does work, and I thank the committee for its time.
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you for everything you do for our community. Next is Maxine Dugan. Maxine, if you please put yourself on the record.
My name is Maxine Dugan. I'm with Community United for Safety and Protection, and we want to associate ourselves with the comments that were made by Carrie Nelson. We oppose any increased high fines and fees or criminalization for drug possession because it will cost Alaska just like it cost California, whose prison system was seized by the federal government because they couldn't provide physical or mental health services for all the folks that they had locked up. California spent more on prisons than it did on education. Let's not be like California. Thank you.
Thank you, Maxine. Next is Corinne Cooper.
Hello. I am Corinne Cooper. I live in Nikiskie. I've lived there my whole life. I'm representing myself. All I would like to say is do not pass House Bill 49, and please pass all four of Governor, all the four governors' crime bills. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Kathleen McLaughlin.
Yes, this is Kathleen McLaughlin. I'm the director of the Partners Reentry Center, and my comments today are focused on the portions of HB 49 that address the public safety concerns that the bill addresses regarding the reentry process. And as many of you know, Partners has served over 7,500 reentrants in the last 5.5 years, and what we have learned is that the pre-release planning is key to making successful reentry and recidivism reduction. As Department of Corrections has reported to the Alaska legislature, since 2015, recidivism rates have actually gone down from 67% to 61%. And the key to this is Department of Corrections' willingness to work with the community-based reentry programs like Partners Reentry Center, so that inmates are more prepared to release to a purpose-directed life and to normalize. That's really key, is the normalization. Just yesterday, partner staff was at Goose Creek. We met 47 inmates. We regularly go to Anchorage Jail, Highland, and, of course, the maximum security prison, Spring Creek. Excuse me. So HB 49 does provide those assurances that DOC and the community-based reentry providers will keep themselves accountable to the reentrant by collaborating and enhancing the pre-release process through an OMP or an offender management plan. And so there's no downside and there's no additional cost to having this.
Please, thank you for holding.
And finally, I just wanted to add that right now I'm down in Arizona at a national reentry conference, and what's been really interesting to me is that I'm learning that Alaska is far ahead of other states that are facing, addressing, and trying to solve the recidivism issues, and I believe that HB 49 is just one more step in keeping Alaska at the forefront in this area. Thank you.
Thank you. And next is, we're going to take an at ease, just one moment. Back on the record, we're having a few phone issues, but so if people end up having to call back in, we will take you as you call back in, so we're not going to go anywhere. So in the room, we have Triada Stampas. Was I anywhere close? Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening. Co-chairs Wilson and Foster, thank you so much for the opportunity to testify this evening. My name is Triada Stampas. I am the policy director for the American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska. This version of HB 49 is a significant improvement over the governor's original draft. And there are provisions of the bill that we especially support, such as mandating the timely processing of sexual assault exam kits, the coordination that's mandated between the Department of Corrections and reentry providers in drafting offender management plans, the restoration of driver's licenses after 10 years with a clean record, and some of the enhanced reporting from the Criminal Justice Commission that will give a more holistic view of the totality of our system here in Alaska. There are also elements of the bill that raise concern, as they are contrary to the evidence-driven practices and principles on which our justice reforms passed in 2016 were based. And so we look at things like increasing the sentencing ranges for a range of crimes. These sentencing increases are not as drastic as the versions in the governor's draft. They still cause concern because we know that evidence shows that longer sentences do not deter crime, and that, in fact, they may only – longer sentences do result in increases in recidivism. So we don't think that that will make Alaskans safer. The elimination of inflation indexing for property crimes also will result over time in longer lengths of incarceration, and stiffer penalties. Again, the longer a person stays in jail, the more likely they are to recidivate. Elements such as making the third conviction of a drug possession, for those Schedule 1A and 2A crimes, a felony, means that individuals with substance use disorders will end up with both a felony penalty and a felony record that will stay with them for life when what they need is treatment. Alaska has a range of alternatives, from therapeutic courts to crisis intervention teams to diversion to treatment.
Recording is on. To pause recording, press star 9 again.
That are more effective solutions. And so as you work on these bills, and I heard earlier in the hearing a real understanding that this is a complex set of issues that requires a lot of digestion and thinking. As you digest the different provisions of these bills, we urge you to look to the alternatives that have a record of success rather than some of these other provisions that, frankly, part ways with the evidence and the data that shows what works.
Thank you. We have a question from Representative Sullivan-Leonard.
And just real quick question, if I could, please. What type of evidence data are you referring to, please?
So the U.S. Department of Justice has done extensive analysis of the criminal justice academic research in terms of what deters crime. And the consensus across a range of studies is that the length of a sentence is far less a deterrent to a criminal than the certainty that they'll be caught. Essentially, criminals will commit the crimes that they think they can get away with. And so increasing the likelihood of being caught for a crime or increasing the perception that one is more likely to be caught is a far more effective deterrent than the length of a sentence. That's not the psychology of a criminal to kind of map out, well, if I do this, I'll only get up to 2 years versus five through the chair, respectfully.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your – Representative Knopf.
So, thank you, Madam Chair. So, don't you believe that there could be a correlation, though, between I agree with you that too long a sentence isn't a deterrent. You're probably more likely to get institutionalized. But on the same aspect, don't you think that a very short sentence for some of the minor crimes can have the same effect, 2 or 3 days versus 10 days, 2 weeks, 30 days? Don't you think that's more of a deterrent on the smaller crimes? If somebody's looking at 2-3 days, that's usually not a bad deal a weekend, but 30 days is a whole different. Wouldn't you think there's a bounce in there?
Through the chair, I'm not aware of any evidence that shows that.
Seeing no further questions, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
We also have Don Hayberger.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Don Hayberger, community coordinator for the Juneau Reentry Coalition. The mission of the Juneau Reentry Coalition is to promote community safety by identifying and implementing strategies that increase reentry success for those returning to the community after their release from incarceration. The coalition recognizes that smart justice is a balance of accountability to laws and regulations, and appropriate enforcement and sanctions are a part of that accountability. The coalition also recognizes that smart justice must include appropriate and functioning services and treatment options, such as access to behavioral health, affordable housing, job training, and employment to aid in their successful and sustained return to the community, fulfilling our mission and improving our community's public safety record. HB 49, in its current version, strikes a reasonable balance between enforcement and providing an appropriate pathway for recovery, reentry, and success in coming back to our community and make it a safer, more prosperous community. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Is there anyone else in the room who would like to testify? Okay, and we're going to have to take another at ease while we fix our phone issue. back on the record. My apologies. We're having a few phone issues. It looks like we have taken care of those phone issues. We're going to go to the Anchorage LIO, and we have Janet McCabe. Janet, are you there? Okay, we're going to come back to Janet. So we'll see if we can figure that part out. Let's try Bert. Hootaling, Bert, are you there? Hi, is that Bert?
My name is Bert Hufteling, and I'm calling today from Big Lake about your Crime Bill 49. From my understanding, this is your House Bill 49 is your House Bill 145 that you were talking about a little earlier this week. This is one of the worst crime bills I have ever seen in existence, and I don't understand why you appropriated the House Bill 49 name and slipped in your House Bill 145 into it. Please pass what Governor Gunn-Levy has given you, the original House Bill 49, 50, 51, and 52. This political game of transferring over the current House Bill 145 in the position of House Bill 49 is disingenuous and deceiving the public. Not many people out there know that you have done this. They're all listening today while they're testifying, that they're testifying on Governor Dunleavy's crime bill, House Bill 49, not your House Bill 145, which you have slipped into its place. Please reject House Bill 49 as you currently have it written, and please put back into place Governor Dunleavy's House Bill 49. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for waiting with us. Next is Brianna Cooper. Brianna, are you there? Oh, unavailable. So we're going to go to Leanne McCoffey from Nikitsky. Leanne, are you on mute maybe?
Yes, my name is Leanne McCoy. I'm speaking for myself. I want to encourage you to not pass HB 49, but to pass all of Governor Dunleavy's crime bill so that we can strengthen the rule of law. I agree with Governor Dunleavy that public safety needs to be priority number one. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Leanne. Next is Mary Hilkosk from Anchorage. Mary?
Hello, this is Mary Hilkoski. I am a volunteer member of the board of directors of the state-funded nonprofit Partners for Progress. I'm currently the board's vice chair. For its 20 years of existence, Partners for Progress's purpose has been to fight crime in our state. And I am calling you now in support of the version of House Bill 49 as reported by Judiciary. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary. Next is Mike Leitner. Mike?
Hello, my name is Mike Leitner from Anchorage, District 19. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm asking that you do not pass House Bill 49. Since the passing of SB 91, nearly everyone in my neighborhood, including my parents and myself, have been the victim of some sort of crime. It's clear SB 91 has failed, and it's time for you, our representatives, to lead us in a new direction. And that new direction would be by supporting and passing all four of the governor's crime bills. Thank you again for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Mike. Next is Molly Sloan. Okay, we have taken an ease. We're back on the record. We're going to try this one more time. Next on line is Debbie White. Debbie, are you there?
I finally got through.
Awesome. We're glad to hear you. You're loud and clear.
Okay, good, because, yeah, this has been rather a frustrating experience trying to get through on this, and I know that you guys have a large number of people. Now I'm trying to walk to the other end of the building where my notes are. So I'll just start from memory. While I understand and respect the value of the reentry programs, and I understand that, you know, can in some cases be better treatment, the fact is a core function of government is protection of its citizens. You've tied the hands of the law enforcement officers and the prosecutors with SB 91. It's not working. I'm going to step away from listening to that. I'm sorry. So you're leaving this function to the citizens in a place where there are more firearms than people. This is a recipe for disaster. So, you know, I'm just shocked that the governor's four bills have been mutilated. Please reject this version and go back to what the governor brought you. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. The next person is Rodella DeVilbiss from Big Lake.
Hello.
Hello, we can hear you.
Okay, my name is Rodella DeVilbiss. I represent myself. I live in Big Lake. I do support the governor's bill. I would like to see SB 1 completely repealed. I do respect the fact that you try to help people as they come out, but there are consequences. Everybody has to pay for what they do. If I do something wrong, there are consequences. There have been all my life. There will be until the day I die, and everybody should live by that. I just think that what Matt Clayman has done is disgusting, and you need to go with the governor's bill. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. I'm going to let everybody know, too, that we're going to keep the lines open until 6:30. I will take everybody that calls in, but if you're dropped off, please do call back. We're going to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to testify. Mike Coons, you're next, president of the Greater Alaska Chapter of AMA.
Yeah, this is Mike Coons. HB 49 is the governor's bill in name only. Beyond that, the rest of it is Matt Clayman's. Matt Clayman is a trial defense attorney, and I believe his wife is as well. And this is just, you know, keeping him in business and his wife in business as, you know, was this, it's just going on. This is the most disgusting display of legislation I have ever seen in my entire life. I haven't been into politics that long. I've only been probably actively into it about 5 years or so. But I thought I'd seen some really nasty stuff down in Maryland. But this takes the cake. The back deals, the backroom deals that went on with this, the things that are going on with this, the governor's bills need to be passed. Matter of fact, we just had a meeting with the governor at the Chugach Senior Center. And one of the things that one of the people asked him was that would he veto bills? And he said yes. And these are bills that if these pass under the, not the governor's bills, but Matt Clayman's bills, he will veto them. And we will be calling him to veto them. I'd rather have one more year of SB 91 and we the people, like that last lady said, with all those guns, we can take care of biz if that comes down to it. And God knows, none of us want to have to get down to that level. But if it cuts down to that level, that's where it's going to get down to. And Matt Clayman, and this legislature, and this committee, are putting Alaskans in harm's way that I've never seen it before. And it just is absolutely beyond disgusting. And 4,500 members of AMAC are not happy with this. And we will be, there will be repercussions on this. And lastly, I know I listen to a lot of people calling in saying, oh, I'm a rehabilitated drug addict. Okay, fine and dandy. You know what? If they got into prison that one time and they got their act together, great. I'm tickled to death for them. I applaud them. But if it took the first, it took the second, it took the third, it took the fourth time to go to jail, and they didn't go to jail just for the dope. They went into jail because they committed a crime, robbery, prostitution, right on down the line. They committed a crime. The one lady called earlier and said that she had a felony. Well, she had to commit more than just possession. So if we can do the first-time offender and work with them and help them and they want to be helped and then they come out and they get into back into society and they stay straight, great. I'm all for that. But when it's the second time, it's the third time, it's the fourth time, it's the fifth time, forget it. I have no sympathy for them whatsoever. And as far as I'm concerned, I would love to just make some big holes in prisons, throw them down in the hole, and pipe sunshine down to them when I think about it. And I'm not going to be thinking about it very often. So pass the governor's bills, not Matt Klayman's bills, and start acting like real Alaskan legislators that you know you can do. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, Mike. Next is Henrietta Meniam.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Can you please put yourself on the record?
Henrietta Meniam, for the record. I'm a resident of Nikiski and also a victim of property crime on the peninsula. I'm calling just to state that I am not in favor of House Bill 49, and I urge you not to pass HB 49, but instead to pass all of the governor's crime bills.
Yeah, give me a fork to eat my potato. Yeah, maybe some butter, some sour cream if they got it.
Hello?
Hi, we can still hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, I heard something about sour cream and something else. So I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
Okay, bye. Yeah, there were two of us on the line. Goodbye.
It's an interesting system is all I can tell you. Okay, we're going to go with Janet McCabe at the Anchorage LIO. Janet, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hi, Janet.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. I'm Janet McCabe, Chair of Partners for Progress, and our nonprofit organization includes both the Partners Reentry Center and Therapeutic Court Support. We support the current version of HB 49. It is a more balanced approach than the bill originally introduced by the governor and corrects some of the basic problems with SB 91 without throwing the baby out with the bathwater. The bill before you, HB 49, is the result of a careful review of SB 91, and it keeps the most useful parts and changes the weak parts. Among the other provisions, it does a better job of addressing the most dangerous drugs, opioids, heroin, methamphetamine, and it increases the penalties for possession and selling these drugs. It takes electronic monitoring and strengthens this cost-effective program. It enacts a statute that covers real threats of violence, not simply false threats. By dealing with what happens to people when they re-enter the community, we solve underlying problems, reduce cost of incarceration, and most important, we protect the public and increase public safety from due process. We think HB 49 gets the legislature back to being smart on crime, not just tough on crime. Please support it. Thank you for your time and hard work.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Next, we're going to go to Kathy Swanson.
Hello, I'm Kathy Swanson, calling from Juneau, representing myself. And I would like to urge you to vote against this crime bill and vote for the governor's crime bill. I'd be perfectly happy if you just repealed SB 91 completely and then added in things as they were available. Where is the reentry program in Juneau for men? Where is their location? I don't know of one, and I could be incorrect, but I'm all in favor of Haven House. I was a financial supporter. I'm all in favor of it. However, those people reentered from jail. They came out of the prison system ready to work on their issues and rehabilitate themselves. Well, that's great. So how are we throwing out the baby with the bathwater by going back to what it was that got them into Haven House in the first place? Now, I'm perfectly fine with after people have been in jail, done their time, there's maybe some way they can earn their way into a reentry program or swap rehab if they need treatment for drugs somewhere. However, like someone else said, those programs aren't readily available either. They oftentimes have a 6 month to 1 year wait. I am seriously tired of driving down the street and getting flipped the bird by the guy that burglarized my house. Now, I really think if you guys had the time to vote yourselves in a raise, how about you vote in a bill that gives me the right to shoot somebody in the course of attempting to get my firearms back? There are so many firearms in Alaska that are not reported and are stolen. What do you think is happening with these? We're not safe. Today there was a woman on Douglas. There was a man at the children's playground with a knife. Obviously, you're mentally ill to do something like that. However, if he was arrested under SB 91, they'd haul him to Lemon Creek, and he'd be right back out again. But if he got arrested, yes, he'd go to Lemon Creek, but they would be able to do an assessment and send him to API for some help. But obviously, if you're running around a playground with a large knife, you need help. You need help. We're not helping anybody. And this is not compassion, not for the taxpayers of this state who are paying for everything, and not for the criminals that are abusing drugs with impunity and are just as bold as they can be. It's a matter of time until there's a tragedy, just a matter of time. Let me know when you get that bill written, because I've got some pretty good suspicions of where I can find them. Just don't want to spend my life in jail. Thanks very much. Have a great day.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you for being with us this evening. Next is Evelyn Gonauer.
Yes, this is Evelyn Goffner.
You can begin your testimony.
Hello, this is Evelyn Goffner. I'm from Wasilla, Alaska, and I'm just representing myself. And I would really appreciate SB 91 being repealed. I am really tired of all the crime that's going on here in Wasilla and throughout the valley. You know, our mailboxes have been vandalized several times. All my neighbors have been broken into. Our gas has been siphoned out of our cars. It's, you know, we know who's doing it, but nobody, you know, has caught them in the act or whatever, and it's ridiculous. Crime is rampant out here in the valley, and, you know, they let somebody go if they're on heroin or something like that, walking down the street naked. Just right here at 7-Eleven, they let naked people were fighting, a man and a woman. The man went walking down the street naked. The woman drove up naked. I had my grandchildren in my car. It's ridiculous, the crime and things that are going on. And I don't see this SB 49 fixing all the problems that were introduced with SB with the other bill. It's ridiculous, and I'm really tired of all the crime that's coming out. You know, I grew up in Alaska. I have been in Alaska since 1967, and I have never seen the crime this bad. It's terrible when you cannot even keep your doors unlocked anymore. I mean, when I grew up here, we could keep our doors unlocked and everything. I still know all my neighbors in my neighborhood because I'm an old-time Alaskan. But it just really bothers me that there's so many criminals out and on the streets anymore and all the crime that's going on. I urge you to reject this Bill 49 and repeal SB 91 or 81, whichever number it is, and get something that works. Quit tying the hands of the police and everything else. I see that people have become good citizens, but after they've been in jail, after they've gotten treatment, because people will not get treatment if they just are left to go on their own, because they don't choose to. You can't force somebody to get treatment if they don't want it. And I think if they're in jail, they will get treatment. Even if you have to keep them there longer, at least they'll get treatment, and we will have safer streets. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Evelyn. Next is Phil Shanahan.
Pardon?
The next one online is Phil Shanahan.
Oh, they just unmuted me now. This is Phil Shanahan. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. You may begin your testimony.
Thank you very much. I'm calling in to support this version of HB 49. I think that one of the problems I'm hearing in the calls and what we're seeing a lot in the media is that anecdotal evidence isn't really evidence. And the Criminal Justice Commission put a lot of thought into justice reform, and they did research, and they did thorough analysis of evidence-based approaches to our crime problems. And justice reform is starting to work. The recidivism rates have gone down, but we need to be a bit patient with it. We need to keep working at it. We all know that most of the talk out of Juneau is about how little money we all have now, and the legislature is struggling with budget issues. Going back to the old way that didn't work is only going to cost us millions and millions of more dollars, require us to build more prisons, and it's not going to make our communities any safer at all. The opioid addiction issues did not begin because of SB 91. Crime didn't begin because of SB 91. SB 91 wasn't perfect, and that's why these modifications that are being made now and that have been made over the last couple of years make some sense. What works and what others have talked about in terms of reentry and treatment, that's what's going to make our communities safer. Spending money smartly and wisely towards justice reform and towards rehabilitative efforts is what's going to work. SB 91 doesn't say that nobody goes to prison ever. SB 91 didn't create the problems that people are seeing in their communities, and the statistics don't back up that crime rates are skyrocketing since the passage of SB 91. The old way of doing things didn't work for many, many years. We weren't a community of no crime back before SB 91, and we were spending millions of dollars. Our recidivism rates were out of control, and we were sending people to private prisons in Colorado and Arizona, far away from their communities, far away from their families, unable to get back into the community as well. And so what we want to do is fix the glitches or fix the things that aren't working perfectly with SB 91, but we do not want to scrap justice reform. Going back to the old way just isn't going to work. And so while I'm not a giant supporter of every provision in HB 49, it's a good approach, it's a measured approach, and it's an evidence-based approach. So we'd urge you to not revert to what we all know didn't work just to satisfy people who are claiming SB 91 as the cause of all of our ills. So thank you very much for listening, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you for staying with us this evening. Next is Ida Nelson.
Good. Good evening, Madam Chair. My name is Ida Nelson. I am from Igiaguk, Alaska. I am representing myself. I am not in favor of supporting of these amendments known as HB 49.
This is a very large bill for the amendment for a simple fix that either will do more harm than good. Just in summary of the bill, for what it is for, I counted 19 different amendments that are just basically, to me, that's placing a big old Band-Aid just to be ripped off later in the future. These amendments, to me, just one last cast to try and fix what SB 91 has created to make the people of Alaska feel safer when they really don't need to do much. These are needed much improvements of the bill and needed more explanation of what is going to happen. It'll be much better and more effective to each one of these 19 items in the bills to be broken down into smaller bills to make it easier to understand. I am not in favor of this bill, and all what this is trying to do is to fix the crimes in the wake of SB 91. Thank you, and have a good evening.
Thank you, Ida. And for those who are listening who may not have been able to call in yet, you can also email House Finance. That's all one word, housefinance@leg.gov. And next is Willie Keppel.
Yes, good evening and thank you. I live in Quinnahawk. I represent myself. I do not support House Bill 49. I believe it's a lawyer's wet dream. And I believe that everybody I know out here, I've been 40 years in the bush, people are sleeping with loaded guns because it's the same crowd running around Bethel, stealing snow machines, four-wheelers. In Anchorage, in the big cities, a snow machine and a four-wheeler is a toy. Out here, they're your very life existence on how you get your freezers full from subsistence to be able to travel to neighboring communities. And the people that are doing this are in jail one day, right back out. In jail, right back out. Same thing over and over and over and over. People are sleeping with loaded guns, and you're going to start seeing blood is what I really believe, you know. I support the governor's four routes. I say lock the drug dealers up, lock up the addicts, and just throw away the key. They're beyond hope. And I think America figured that out when Viet Vet started coming back shooting heroin, and those same guys are no longer with us. And it's no different right now. Heroin's a bad damn deal, and ain't nothing going to cure it. Might as well lock them up and quit worrying about them. That's what I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Willie. Next is Patty Williams.
Hi, this is Patty Williams. I'm representing myself, and I just have one comment. Please do not pass HB 49 as written, but please pass all four of the governor's crime bills. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you, Patty. Next is Elizabeth Holt.
Yes, hello. My name is Elizabeth Jean Holt from Palmer, Alaska. I am representing myself. I thank you, the co-chair, Foster, Wilson, and Johnson, for opportunity to comment. I'm in total opposition of House Bill 49. It's morphed into House Bill 145, and it's very confusing. It's watered-down version of 91, and it's not what the people of Alaska voted for when we voted for Governor Dunleavy. I'm all in favor of those four crime bills. It even lowers this. I just started following all this, and it gets very complicated. And I believe House Bill 145 is like House or SB 91, and I think that you all are. If you pass this bill as it is, it's not doing justice for the people of Alaska. And also law enforcement, and I think that it's just complicating matters, and so please go with Governor Dunleavy's crime bills. Thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thanks, Elizabeth. And next is Gail Limbaugh Moore.
Yes, this is Gail Limbaugh Moore, and I do not support HB 49. I would like to see the governor's bills passed as they are written. I think that all of the citizens in Alaska are really tired of this crime. I worry about daily my parents who are 91 and 80 who live by themselves. I have rheumatoid arthritis. I take them to Anchorage. So it's pretty interesting. You rent hotels and you have to make sure that there's a clerk out there that when you park in a handicapped spot that they can see the car for fear of somebody coming along and stealing it. And it isn't a first-time offender that you worry about. It's that fourth, fifth offender that they continue to let out and do nothing for them. When somebody says to be patient over to see if this HB 91 works, I don't know how patient you want us to be. What will it be? 5 years down the road? As far as expense is concerned to housing prisoners, I'm sure that people don't mind that if they can feel safe, because Alaska isn't feeling safe. I have fear when I go to Anchorage. I'm going up there next week, and I have asked a young man to go with me downtown because I am fearful of the homeless people down there. And there are so many areas that you don't even dare drive because people try and get into your car. Do we have to live in fear? And how many years do we have to do this? This hug-a-thug program that everybody is championing, not everyone, but the HB 49 and people who are championing this bill, we want it, I do not support it, want it repealed, and we want SB 91 repealed. And that concludes my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Joseph Ross. Joseph?
Yes, thank you. Joseph Ross Nikiski, I'm representing myself. And this property crime has gotten completely out of hand. If you haven't been ripped off yourself, you know someone that has been ripped off. They catch the same thugs over and over again. They get a $25 bail or just a summons to come to court. It's the same people over and over and over again doing these crimes. I have a whole house full of people squatting in a abandoned building in my neighborhood back here, and it's every time we go by, there is more people joining this commune of thieves back here, and it's just completely out of hand. You guys need to not pass House Bill 49 in its current form, and you need to pass all four of the governor's bills. I don't care what it costs to house these criminals. I don't care if we build another prison or two or three. I could care less if these thugs have to go outside to go to prison. Oh, please don't affect them at all. That's sarcasm, in case you didn't tell. I don't care if they have to go to Colorado or Arizona or wherever and be away from their family. They need to be away from the public. They need to be locked up. Please pass all four of the governor's crime bills in their current form. Thank you.
Thank you, Joseph. Thank you for calling back in. Next is Sarah Ann Jackson.
Hello, my name is Sarah Ann Jackson. I'm from Juneau, Alaska. And I would like to say for SB 91, first of all, SB 91 was not one simple bill. It was a conglomeration of a whole lot of different ideas taken from other states and other places hoping to reform. There is no place in the United States that has to deal with SB 91 as it currently is. And then you ran in SB 54, supposed to fix the problem. It didn't fix the problem, all right? Two times within the past year, I have been violated by crime, my safety, my home. I am not a drinker. I'm not a partier. But I have on my cameras that all of us have to have at our house now, hoping for somebody to take these prisoners off the streets. why is the state not paying for these cameras? You should be paying for these cameras for making us the prey of these prisoners, habitual criminals, in and out, in and out. The first guy we went out and confronted him was trying my doorknobs at 4:30 in the morning. He flipped us off, ran into the woods, never to be seen again. The second was a pair that I am still going through court with because of the cameras. Yes, I called the police. The police caught them within 15 minutes. However, they broke into my car. They stole things from me. And I am still the one that gets the summons and gets the warrant for my arrest if I don't show up to testify. The second, these two people were let out of bail. They ran around town and committing more and more crimes, burglarizing businesses and people until finally they were arrested. The second girl that was involved in that is still free. She's still walking. You can still see them on the streets. Where's my justice? Who's going to pay for me? Who is going to make sure that I am accommodated for your idea of passing the SB 91 and unleashing these criminals on us and turning us into prey? Now, sorry if I'm getting emotional, but this is crazy. I say no on this HB 49. I voted for Dunleavy basically to repeal SB 91 because he heard us. He heard the citizens of the state saying, we're not safe. We're not making it out of here. You're going to force us into killing somebody, defending our own life, because you have turned us into prey. As far as the people saying, poor people in prison, let me read you the educational programs from Lemon Creek Correctional Center. Adult basic education, general equivalency diploma, parenting, introduction to computers, Microsoft certification, keyboarding, HREA education, money management, child support services, art classes, pre-employment, planning for success, commercial driver's license. I had to pay to get my commercial driver's license to make a living to support my kids. And here, they can get it for free. All right? College preparation.
Sarah,
preparation.
Can I get you to wrap up? Can I get you
now,
to wrap up now, please?
If you look at the general programs that we have, outdoor recreation, indoor recreation, mental health, sex offender management program, furlough placements, prison industries, close-up programs, culture programs, library, religious activity. And you take a look at the treatment programs, anger management. Hey, I need some anger management. I need it because of what you did. By not doing what we voted for, by proposing this
Ms.
kind
Jackson,
of bill.
Ms. Jackson, I'm going to have to ask you to wrap it up. Thank you.
Anger management, domestic violence perpetrator program.
Thank you very much, Ms. Jackson. Next will be Rose Hubbard. Rose?
This is Rose Hubbard. I am representing myself. I live in Anchorage, Alaska. I don't feel that there is a whole lot of equilibrium to the conversations being had about the crime bills. Crime is very, very touchy subject for everybody. Everybody has known somebody that has either had a crime committed against them, has personally had a crime committed against them, or has committed a crime on either side of the road. I am currently a reformed drug addict and currently positive influence and working towards helping create a productive community that I live in. I don't think that short-term sentences for habitual offenders, for people that abuse drugs, sell drugs, sexual abuse, or any form of physical abuse should ever be given. Nobody should be given a break for committing any one of those crimes. The human trafficking is outrageous in Alaska, and that needs to be stopped. On the other hand, I do have a heart, and I do have compassion for people that do recover. I personally did not do it in jail. I did it on my own, and it was because I wanted to and needed to, and that is the only way that recovery actually works. I feel that it should be an opportunity given in jail, and that more and more of the habitual offenders should be locked away for longer sentences because they continually demonstrate a disrespect for the law, a disrespect for other people, and the safety of the communities. I also feel that you shouldn't just throw away the key when you take a young person that has had no prior offenses, or even an older person who has had no prior offenses.
Rose,
they shouldn't be locked away and thrown and have the keys thrown away. I'll wrap up by saying I don't believe that this bill fixes it all, but I don't think that we're going to find a solution with everybody playing one party or another. It's going to take everybody coming together in order to make it a real solution. Thank you for letting me testify.
Thank you very much. Next is Deborah Holland.
Hi, my name is Deborah Holland. I'm calling on my own behalf. I'm from Anchorage, Alaska. I'm calling because I support my governor's crime, justice crime bills, and I would like to see those passed. I'm not in favor of this SB 49, which is just a bastardized SB 145. I hope that y'all are listening because y'all look really bored up there and like you've already made your minds up and that you don't have to hear this, but it's part of your job and you got to do it. Alaskans are tired of the crime. We can rehabilitate prisoners after we get crime under control. Right now, it's crime. We need to stop it. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for calling back in. Next is Chris Hayes.
Yeah, hi. My name is Chris Hayes from Kenai, Alaska, and I'm representing myself.
Go ahead.
Hello, are you with me?
Yep, we can hear you. Go ahead and begin your testimony.
I am not in favor of HB 49. I am in favor of full repeal of SB 91. My family's lived in the same neighborhood here in Kenai since the mid-60s, and I have never seen crime any worse than it has been. We have these opioid zombies, I call them. They wander around the neighborhood. There's abandoned vehicles. They bring things out of their houses and light them on fire, like appliances. They bust out windows of their vehicles, make noise all hours of the evening. And I'm sure that it's all because of opioids or heroin or some sort of drug addiction. And, of course, that drug addiction has to be financed by something, so they end up stealing whatever they can get to finance their habit. I go to the Kenai Police Department probably at least once a month or a couple times a month. I make phone calls when I see suspicious activity. I just did that two nights ago. I had two people in a vehicle that were doing drugs. I drove by and seen him, called the police. And to their credit, they showed up within 10 minutes of the time that I called them. A very quick response time. But I stood right in the Kenai Police Department and talked to the officers there about it. And they specifically say, we want you to call. We're trying to fix the problem. But the number one reason why we can't do anything or this catch and release thing is because of SB 91. They say that specifically, directly to me, right inside of the police station. So it's kind of undeniable when you have the people out there trying to enforce the laws, telling you what the problem is. So that's the end of my testimony.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time and all your hard work down there in Juneau.
Thanks, Chris. Next is Betty Best.
Evidently, they cut us off.
Okay, no, I can hear you, Betty.
Yes.
Are you there?
You can hear me?
Yep, we sure can.
Hi, I'm Betty Best, and I am against 49, and I would like to see the repeal of 91. There is too much criminal going on around here, and it's time that the punishment fits the crime. And that's what I've got to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Betty, for being with us this evening. Next is Larry Best.
Just a minute. Larry, it's your turn.
Way to keep track of him, Betty.
He's right here.
Okay, perfect. Larry, you can put yourself on the record. You can begin your testimony.
Yes, this is Larry Best from the Kishke. I'm representing myself. And I'm all in favor of the governor's crime bill. I'm thoroughly opposed to HB 91 because it has been not affected.
Okay, next is Gary McDonald.
Hope you guys are doing okay down there. Anyway, it's Gary McDonald in Los Anchorage. I've been here 45 years. I'm a veteran of the Coast Guard, and I've never seen so much crime in my life, but it's just absolutely appalling. And everybody that's calling in, thank you so much for calling in, because we've got to do something about it. It's horrible, and I think you need to send 1,000 prisoners down to Arizona where you can save money, and that would help and put these, I would call them creeps, in jail where they belong. And those programs that lady said they had down at Lemon Creek, take all those away. You're not in jail to be shown how to truck drive and all that stuff. This is a serious business. We don't get help out here when we're behaving. So I'm just passing it on. People are really pissed and whatever. And I can't believe the crime. And I know there's a lot of people leaving. I don't know if you realize that. But anyway, down on 49, and I want all four. I think the governor had four crime bills. Pass them all. And that's it. Thank you very much for letting me testify. Take care.
Thank you, Gary. Next is John Lamborn. John, are you there?
Yes, this is John Lamborn. I want to express my disgust that we're even talking about this. SB 91 should have been repealed last week. I support Governor Dunleavy. Alaska elected him and a conservative-based political group to go to Juneau and get rid of SB 91 and get the budget under control. And you know what? You guys went down there and you didn't do any of it, and you're fighting every step of the way. Alaska voted. You know, just look across the table. You guys should be ashamed of yourselves. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Next is Carolina Lamborn.
It's Caroline with an E. And I, too, urge them to support the governor and his crime bill. We every day deal with crime here in the Valley. I had drug addicts, alcoholics drive through my gate at my business and stop right there. And I call the troopers every time, and they have to let him go because of SB 91. We've had our children, our adult children, had a shed stolen. They caught them in the act, these perpetrators. We lift them up on the court view, and they both had pages and pages and pages of priors. We don't understand why you're not arresting these. And yeah, and they let them go. And they said, well, we can't because of SB 91. So this is ridiculous. And I feel for the ladies that are scared. I'm scared. I have a business. I've got bullet holes in my building. You know, I'm scared, and I'm tired of being scared. Please do something about the crime. Governor Dunleavy was elected by an overwhelming majority. Support the governor's agenda. Thank you very much. Have a pleasant evening.
Thank you for staying with us tonight. We really do appreciate it. Next is Robert Wall. Robert, are you there? Try one more time. Robert Wall from Sterling.
Robert?
Yep.
You're on.
Okay.
There you go. You got someone watching for you. Good job.
Oh, that's my wonderful wife.
You know, we're always good to our husbands. So put yourself on the record, and you can begin your testimony.
Okay, Robert Wall from Sterling. I'm representing myself, and I do not support HB 149, I think you're calling it. I think we need to go back to the governor's original writings that he sent to the clerk on the 20th of January. And that is my testimony.
Perfect. Thank you so much, and thank your wife, too. Did she want to testify as well?
No, ma'am. She's cooking dinner.
Well, you're a lucky man.
So, all right. Thank you.
Thank you. So is there anyone else in the room that would like to testify? Anyone else online? I'm going to let everyone know one more time that they can send in emails if they were unable to testify to House Finance. That's all one word, House Finance at leg.gov, and we'll make sure all the members get your email. With that, we're going to close public testimony. Is there anything else to come before the committee? Our next meeting is at 9 a.m., and it is now 6:47 p.m., and I will see you in the morning.